Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I am so excited that the Lord God allowed me to receive another day of sight, to receive another day of breath, to receive another heartbeat. In Jesus' name, I am so excited that the Lord has allowed me to be a part of His workmanship, to use me to bring this awesome lesson today. And I just thank God for what He's doing in my life. And I so pray for you, brothers and sisters, who are tuned in to the broadcast today. I surely hope that you come ready, willing, and able to receive the blessings that God has bestowed upon us at this particular hour. And I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for being a faithful steward and a faithful listener of the Holy Spirit. So I want to go right ahead and just bring this lesson today. Why suffer? Why not suffer? And this is our lesson for today. And I just thank God for what He's going to show you and I as we move through these beautiful scriptures and unpack the treasures that are there for us to enjoy. So I have asked my sister in Christ, Shirley, to bless us and open us with a word of prayer. So Shirley, if you would go ahead and whisper a beautiful prayer or short prayer for us to get right to the foot of Jesus, that we will come with humble hearts and ready minds. Shirley, if you could open us up today with a blessed prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for waking us all up this morning, Father God, to be in your presence one more time, Father God. Thank you for your loving Son who died on the cross for our sins, Lord God. Ask you to continue to embrace every person that listens on the broadcast, Father God, that they may receive what thus said the Lord God, and that they receive everything that you have to receive on tonight, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for all your blessings and many things you have given to us, Father God. Continue to give us more of your wisdom, more of your knowledge, and more of your spirit, Father God, to follow you through everything, Father God. Have your way, O God, in this lesson on today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, sister, for blessing us with a prayer that leads us right to the Father. So if you would get your Bibles and get your pencil, paper ready to receive the blessings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I just thank you again for being a faithful listener to Mission from the Heart broadcast. So why do bad things happen to good people? And that is the question. Why do bad things happen to good people? Most don't have any idea why bad things happen to good people, but when the hope of Jesus Christ is engraved in our heart, in our soul, and in our mind, at that point, you should not wonder why bad things happen to good people, but rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Listen to what Luke 6:22 says. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you, and reject your name as evil because of man. Now, again, I say rejoice. So our topic or our lesson today is, why suffer? And the response is, why not suffer? And when the Lord laid this on my heart to show me why we suffer and how we are to respond in our suffering, opened a panoramic window for me as he led my hand through the verses and through the scriptures that truly helped me have a deeper understanding why suffer. And so I want to bring you with me. I want to lead you through these scriptures and show you with what the Holy Spirit showed me. So, again, the topic is why suffer is the question, and the response to the topic is why not suffer. So, my first point is, and if you would make note of these points, point one being suffering sovereign, and that's point number one, suffering sovereign. Point two, suffering sanctified. Suffering sanctified. And the last point being suffering satisfied. Those are the three points for why suffer, why not suffer. Suffering sovereign, suffering sanctified, suffering satisfied. Let's look at what suffer means according to the dictionary. Now, suffer means to endure hardship or experience loss. And how many of us have endured hardship over time or suffered loss over time? And if I do say that is something hard to endure at times, I want to share a story, a personal one, and I experienced some suffering myself, and it entails one of my children. And one of my children was wrongfully accused, and it put him in a bad place. And this place was a place that none of you nor I want to ever experience. And if you have experienced a place like this, then I thank God that he set you free of that particular place if you are listening to this broadcast. Hallelujah. But one of my children experienced a wrongfully accused, and he had to suffer concerning this lie. And because he suffered wrongful accusal of someone, he is having to, again, suffer in a place that brings pain, it brings why, it brings hurt and distress, and it may even bring stress because of the environment, because of the restrictions, because of the authoritative hand that tells you where to go, when to go, when to sleep, when to eat, no freedom. And when you suffer for not doing anything wrong, and again, in the intro, I had made mention, why do bad things happen to good people? And so my personal story is, it brought suffering to me. So when he suffers as a parent, and I'm sure you've experienced this in your lifetime, and when one of our loved ones endure suffering, we endure it with them, regardless of what the suffering is. And when we hurt, when we cry, when we wonder why, we don't have answers. And sometimes the answers may come and sometimes they may not come. But in the midst of his suffering, mom suffers too. And I hurt, I cry, I pray, and I rejoice. I smile, I'm saddened, and I go through a lot of emotional pain at times. But I know there is a day. The day of rejoicing will come. And as I made mention in the introduction, I made mention again, I say rejoice. And that's what the scriptures tell us, to not lose heart, to not lose faith, not lose hope, but in our suffering, we are to rejoice. And the one that suffers harder than we suffer, and I'm talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he tells us to rejoice. So let's look at some scripture. Let's Job did. And of course, this is a beautiful book to show us suffering that took place with this upright man, Job. And he didn't do anything wrong. He did not say anything wrong. He was an upright man, righteous and upright, faithful to God. And he experienced suffering in more ways than one. So let's look at the scripture. And I want us to look at, if you would walk with me, and we're going to look at Job. And let's go to Job chapter 1. And we're going to look at, and we're going to start in verse. Now, just to give you a little more intro concerning Job's test. Job was portrayed as a wealthy man. And as I said, he was an upright man of character who loved God. And the scriptures talk about that in the first chapter of Job. And God allows Satan to destroy Job's flocks, his possessions, even his children, and his health. Job refuses to give up on God, even though he does not understand why things are happening to him, why he was tested. And when we too don't understand the difficulties that we face, we are to trust God, just as Job has done. Now, let's look at Job, verse 6, chapter 1. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. He fears God and he shuns evil. Now, talking about Job. And we're going to stop there. We know the story. Satan replied in the following verse. Verse 10, have you not put a hedge of protection around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face, is what Job is telling the Lord. In verse 12, the Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your hands. On the man himself, do not lay a finger, according to the NIV translation. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And then you can finish reading the story of Job and in the following verses. But I want to drop down to Job, and he says in verse 20, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Amen. And remember, I said, again I say, rejoice. And Job, in verse 20 and 21, he says, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Amen. And this is what we are to do in our suffering. When we are in a tsunami of situations, circumstances, I don't know what you are going through, but God knows what you're going through. And he said in his word, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He is there with you. Nothing or no one can pluck you out of his hand. And that is comforting to know. Job knew that. But Job is human as well. And when I say he's human, that means that his mind in thought may waver as to why am I suffering. And as you read through the book of Job, you will see how he was accused of doing something wrong by his friends. This is the reason why you're suffering, Job, is because you had to have done something wrong. What did you do wrong? His friends accused him of doing something wrong. And Job did not do anything wrong. But he did wonder, why are these bad things happening to a good person? And so we ask those same questions. It is part of our makeup to wonder, why am I suffering? Why are these things happening to me? And again, we have to rejoice. So let's move on through the scriptures. Now, make note of Job 1, and we started at 6, and we read through 21. I jumped down a few verses, but I want you to read that during your private study time. But the most important verse in this particular passage was verse 21. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Now let's move over to Job 13, chapter 13, and we're going to look at verse 15. Now we've got quite a bit of scripture to cover today, but I want to paint this picture of the first point, suffering sovereign. We see how Job proclaimed that he came into this world with nothing, and he will go out of this world with nothing. And he is going to praise the Lord through it all. He's not going to lose faith. God gives and he takes away. And we know that to be true. So let's look at Job chapter 13, and we're going to start it. We're going to read verse 15. And it reads this way, just another powerful verse that helps us understand what we are to do in our suffering. Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways in his face. Though they slay me, yet will I trust him. And although feels uncomfortable, it feels not fair, this is not right, why do I have to go through this? We proclaim the sovereign God who is in control of everything. Proclaim him and his righteousness, him and his faithfulness. He is sovereign and he has everything in his complete control. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is everywhere at all times. He is sovereign. Nothing happens without him knowing it. Our God is sovereign. So, Job said, though they slay me, yet will I trust him. And that is a beautiful statement of hope through Job. Let's look at Job 36, and let's see how it reflects the sovereignty of God. He said, naked I came, naked I go. I will praise the Lord. God's got all of this under control. Though they slay me, yet will I trust him. And let's see what Job says in chapter 36. And we'll look at verse 15. But those who suffer, he delivers in their suffering to them in their affliction. That is promising. Those who suffer, God delivers us in our suffering. That is hopeful. This is the same thing I believe David understood when he went through through his suffering, David was pursued by Saul. And David didn't understand why Saul had so much hatred and anger toward him. But David even wrote in Psalms 23, and we know that to be a familiar passage of Scripture. And let's go to the 23rd Psalm in Scriptures. And it's always a favorite of mine when we are in a valley, when we are under persecution, when we are experiencing suffering to some degree, regardless of how small or big it is, we turn to this particular scripture, most do, and they will pray it back to God. Let's read the 23rd Psalm. And some of us have it memorized, but we'll read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, those are promises. Those are promises, those are protection, and the main verse in this passage concerning suffering is when we are in our valley low, when we are in the valley. And it talks about, in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley. So that lets us know that we're going to get through these suffering situations. He is going to bring us through each situation. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we are not to fear evil. We are not to fret. We are not to worry. Because he says, your rod and your staff, they bring me comfort. So in the midst of our tears, in the midst of our uncertainty, in the midst of wondering why, we are to rejoice, we are to praise, and we are to know that his rod and his staff bring us comfort. They have comforted me in this situation with my son. His word brings me so much comfort. The Holy Spirit reveals the comforting word of God to me. He leads me through the passages of his pages that they would bring comfort to me. And this is the work of our sovereign God, who has everything under complete control. Let's look at Isaiah 40, verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse, and I hope you are following along, because these are the richness of his word that solidify why suffering and why not suffering. Isaiah 40, and we're going to read verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength.
They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So we will mount up with wings like eagles. And in this suffering, we can soar. We can run and not get weary. We can walk and not faint. When you don't know how you're going to get through these situations, the loss of a job or the abandonment of a spouse or the rejection of a child or a boss or a friend, these are the scriptures that bring comfort, the word of God. He knows our pain. He knows your pain. He knows your tears. He hears your prayers. But we have to know that He is God Almighty. And I believe that He allows us to endure these suffering moments in our lives in order to shape and mold us, that we would be a help to someone else who may be in the valley or going through a situation that they don't understand. So let's move on. Let's look at Psalms 91. Let's go back to the Psalm and let's move to 91. I love to move through the scriptures that they will solidify what we need to know and what we need to learn. The Bible is our basic instructions before leaving this earth. And this is the purpose of our word, is that it grow us, that we would be strong in the Lord, that we would be a benefit to our other brothers and sisters in Christ who may be weak in the word or weak in the Lord and who need building up in addition to bringing the lost to the Savior. So let's look at Psalms 91, and we're going to start with verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And this is what Job said in 13:15, though they slay me, yet will I trust Him. Surely He will save you from the foul snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Our Most High God is our dwelling place. In verse 9, if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Amen. These are the promises and the hope of our sovereign God. Yes, we suffer, and the source of our suffering, we may not know where it comes from, why it comes, But we know through the Word of God that the Scriptures let us know and comfort us of knowing that He will bring us through every storm, every situation, every concern in our life. We have the promises of God. Let's look at 1 Peter verse 4. Now, we're still under the first point, suffering sovereign. And this is just showing the sovereignty of God and how He is has everything under control. Let's look at 1 Peter, Peter chapter 4. And we're going to start with verse 12. First Peter 4:12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice. There's that word again. But rejoice that you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are in of the name of Christ, you are blessed. Amen. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, you do. As a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin, family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Verse 19. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. And that's because suffering for being a Christian honors our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It honors God when we suffer for being who we are in Jesus Christ. Now, this was 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 19, and he's letting us know that the judgment on this world, as we see signs happening in this world with crime and so many other things that are going on that we don't fully understand, but we are to trust and praise God. And He is our faithful Creator. And everything is under His sovereign control. Now let's go to Hebrew chapter 2. Hebrew chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 5. Hebrew chapter 2, verse 5, and I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. And you can follow along in your translation, but it's a slightly different in the New Living. And it reads this way: and furthermore, future world we are talking about will not be controlled by angels. For somewhere in the Scriptures it says, What is man that you should think of him, and the son of man that you should care for him? For a little while you made him lower than the angels, and you crowned him with glory and honor. You gave him authority over all things. Now, when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not yet seen all of this happen. What we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels and now is crowned with glory and honor. Because he suffered death for us, yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone in all of the world. And it was only right that God, who made everything and for whom everything was made, should bring his many children into glory. Through the suffering of Jesus, God made him a perfect leader, one fit to bring them into their salvation. And that was Hebrews 2, verse 5 through 10. He will bring us into salvation. And this is what Jesus did on the cross. He suffered. He suffered death for us. And this brings me to the second point. Suffering sanctified. And this moves us right real beautifully into this second point, suffering sanctified. And sanctified, if you don't know, it means to make holy, set apart as sacred, consecrate, to purify or free from sin. We know suffering, as I made mention earlier, was to endure hardship. And we know that sovereignty or sovereign, God is in complete control. And now, suffering sanctified tells us that Jesus was set apart. He was set apart, and he was the purest, perfect lamb whose blood spilled on that cross for the sins of the world. He was prophesied in the Old Testament through the prophets, and it was solidified on the cross. And when he died on that cross for you and for me, he sanctified us to be set apart, to be holy and righteous and blameless because of the sacrificial lamb. Jesus paid it all on that cross. Let's look at some scripture that solidifies that, that talks about this suffering sanctified. We're going to look at Matthew 27. So if you would walk with me to Matthew chapter 27. And it is beautifully etched in scripture concerning Jesus being crucified on the cross for the sins of the world. Matthew 27, and we're going to start at verse 19. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message. Don't have anything to do with that innocent man. For I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barnabas and to have Jesus executed. Verse 21, which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barnabas? They answered. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All the people answered, let his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released Barnabas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. And in verse 27, the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the temerium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a sacred robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spit on him. They took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. Verse 32, as they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept writing charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed had hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, you are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days? Save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. In the same way, the chief priests and teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel? Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insult on him. Now, I read this lengthy passage for a reason, and this is to solidify the fact that Jesus suffered at the hands of man, but the sovereign God had even this in his divine control. And this is why Jesus came was to die on the cross, to cover the sins of the world, and to see how Matthew specifically details what was done to him. It could be you. This could be anyone that we know that has been subjected to insults, that have been subjected to being talked about, subjected to being lied upon, or subjected to being physically abused, violated, or even verbal abuse, unjustly charged. And these are sufferings that we experienced. And God allowed Job to suffer. He allowed Paul to suffer. He allowed David to suffer by running from it for his life. He allowed Jesus to suffer on the cross. On the way to the cross, on the cross, he allows suffering in our life. And they spit on him. They tore his beard. They struck him in the head over and over. They mocked him. And they lied on him. They didn't want any parts of him. They wanted to get rid of him. So they conjured up lies against him. They could get rid of him. And, of course, as you read on in verses 45 and beyond, you read about the death of Jesus Christ. And even on the cross, he prayed for you and he prayed for me. And he told the Lord God Almighty, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." In the midst of his suffering, he prayed. Do you pray? Or do you complain? Do you still want to know why bad things happen to good people? Or are you praying and rejoicing? Jesus exemplified this for you and me, and he did what we are to do in our suffering. Listen to what Philippians 3:10 says. And I'm going to read this in the Amplified translation. Philippians 3:10. "For my determined purpose," and this is Paul writing to the Philippian church, "for my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, receiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death in the hope." And I love this verse in this translation because it just opens a bigger window for us to see how we will suffer to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness. And that's capital H-I-S. His likeness. What are his likenesses? We know them to be the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. God's character is the fruit of the Spirit. We are suffering to be shaped and molded into His likeness, even to His death, in the hope. So let's look at one more verse considering suffering sanctified. Remember, Jesus was set apart. He's the pure, righteous, sinless Lamb, holy and righteous. And we're going to look at Mark 8, verse Mark chapter 8, and we'll read verse 31. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Now, this is Jesus predicting his death, 31. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. And we saw in Matthew 27 how they rejected him. The chief priests and the elders and the teachers of the law, they rejected him. He was rejected by many. And let's look at Romans chapter 5. And we're going to read verse 1 through 11. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. It produces perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we are still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen. This is what we stand on. This suffered and was set apart for this particular purpose. And the purpose was that we may be free through his blood. And the scriptures tell us that suffering brings perseverance. It produces perseverance. Perseverance produces our character, and character, hope. And that character that we are to continually be transformed is the character of God. And that character is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians 22:23. And the point is, suffering sanctifies, and the scriptures solidify the fact that Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. He was the propitiation for our sins. He paid the debt. No one else could do this but Jesus Christ. He was sanctified, set apart, holy and righteous, pure to do this one thing, and that is to suffer on that cross for the sins of the world. And we are going to pick up this lesson, Why Suffer, Why Not Suffer, part two, on next week of our broadcast. I tell you, this has been a beautiful walk through the scriptures to show an awesome picture of why suffer. And the response is, why not suffer? And we will look at why not suffer on our next broadcast of why suffer, why not suffer. And so I wanted us to just rest here, and let's say a prayer for those who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ in the pardoning of their sins. And I would love for my sister Shirley to lift up a prayer of salvation for someone who may be listening to this broadcast and may not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Shirley, if you could bless us again and bless those with an extension of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a prayer of salvation.
Yes, dear Heavenly Father, I come to you asking you to those that don't know Christ, that they receive you in their lives, Father, for the first time, that they admit that, Father God, you are Lord, and you are the Savior. You rose on the third day, Father God, and that you now live within each and every last one of us, Father God. I ask that if anyone's out there that needing prayer, needing Jesus in their lives, to receive him right now in Jesus' name, and that you believe in him, that you believe that he rose from the dead, they died on that cross for you and me, and that you are a sinner, that you come to repentance to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this day. And I thank you, Lord, for those who have received the many, many blessings, Father God, from you for today, Father God. They have been listening to the broadcast, Father God. And Father God, I just want to thank you that they are saved, Father God. I ask that, Father God, that you place them in the right Bible-based church, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that they will get more teachings upon the Lord, Father God. I thank you that we have been saved tonight, Father God, by this broadcast, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, sister, for praying a prayer of salvation for those who may not know him in the pardoning of their sins. And I
we pray that you would get into a Bible-believing church, a Bible-teaching church that will disciple you, and that you would get connected in ministries that will shape you and mold you and grow you in grace, that you would be a faithful witness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and be baptized and let the world know that you are a Christ follower, because he didn't promise that everything was going to be rosy and easy and everything just working out as daisies in a field. We are going to suffer, but when we suffer in Christ Jesus, it honors him and he gets the glory. Amen. Amen. So thank you for part of our family. And as you devotion with the Lord and read his word, and always remember that you can sit with us every Thursday and listen to the broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio, that you would be discipled and grow in grace and in the word of God, and share the word. Let somebody know that you are now saved. Hallelujah. That you will experience suffering satisfied. And that's going to be our point on next broadcast. We are going to look at our last point in this teaching track, why suffer, why not suffer. So always remember that the grass wither and the flowers faded away, but always know that the word of God will remain forever and ever. And we just welcome Jesus' return, that he would come quickly. And I thank you again for being faithful. Share this broadcast with someone in your inner circle and let them know that they can visit this broadcast on www.blogtalkradio.com/heart-to-heart-MFTH. And that's heart, the number two, heart, MFTH. And that stands for Mission from the Heart. Thank you, and God bless, and remember, have a faithful week.